Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to gather them up. We're going to turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms and going to be looking together at Psalms 122. It reads like this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because the house of the Lord your God, I will seek your good. If you happen to have one of those Bibles that gives a heading before this Psalm 122, you might notice that in some versions it will say, a song of ascents. Depending upon the translation of the original Hebrew title there, sometimes you'll find it listed as gradual psalms or songs of degrees or songs of steps or pilgrim songs or songs going up to worship. If you took the time, and we did in Richie's class, before we stopped, we were still well into the book of Psalms. If you go from Psalms 120 all the way to Psalms 134, they all carry this same title, Songs of Ascent. People are mixed as to what all of that means. Some think that that means they were psalms that were sung by the Jewish pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem to observe the three mandatory pilgrim feasts that they had to attend to that were given in the law. Some say, well, that would be the equivalent of us singing on the way to church, and maybe you did that this morning in your gladness to be here. Others look at these songs of ascent, and they say, well, maybe another line here is these were sung first by the Levites at the dedication of Solomon's temple, so that would be a one-time occasion. Still another thought is that they involved the celebration of Nehemiah's rebuilding of Jerusalem. You remember the walls that he rebuilt. Again, that would be a special occasion. And some think, well, they're just a collection of prose, of songs, of poems that are all linked to the pilgrimage that the Babylonian captivity involved with the Jews. Whatever the origin, whatever the use, these psalms, if you read them from 120 to 134, all ascend to the heights of glory and the majesty of God. They are beautiful, designed to glorify the Lord, to help prepare the hearts of people that are saints of God to go to worship. But this morning I want to focus only on this one psalm, this Psalm 122. And if you look very closely, besides it saying maybe it's a song of ascents or something along those lines, it will say of David. Obviously that means David wrote this psalm. In these songs of ascent, David also wrote Psalm 124 and 131 and 133. But again, this morning I only want to focus on this one, Psalm 122, for it talks about the place of worship for them. It talks about Jerusalem. It talks about the purpose of worship, the Lord. And in verse 1, it simply says, and you remember this, often have heard it, I'm sure. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I like that, especially today. I was glad that finally this morning we were able to go into the house of the Lord again. That staying at home business on Sundays, the Lord's Day, didn't cut it for me. And even though Tricia, JD, and I did take communion each and every one of these Sundays we've been at home, it's just not the same when there's three of us versus when there is a congregation of people. I was glad to be able to come into the house of the Lord again. Glad. That's an interesting word, glad. It means a cause to rejoice. There are a lot of things that bring gladness to people's hearts. In fact, as I was going through the book of the Old Testament, there's a whole long list of things that are recorded that brought gladness into the hearts of people. And it's an interesting list. Some of them you might guess, some of them you never would. Wine, said it brings gladness into the hearts of men. I guess I can understand. Ointments and perfume, or it says someplace a wise son, or a kind word, or meeting a loved one, or God's law, or the increase of righteousness, or God's feast, all of these, it says, it brings gladness to the hearts of men. It also talks about the Lord and His salvation in a number of places. It's bringing gladness. And to that long list, David adds one more. He said, I was glad to go into the house of the Lord. Unfortunately, not everybody shares that gladness. If everybody was glad to be in the house of the Lord, I imagine it would be full this morning and full each and every Lord's Day when we're open. Not all people are glad. Some people are mad. Some people just don't want to go to church, if that's a phrase we could correctly use. They are sometimes sad because, I would go, but I have something else that's more important on this particular Sunday morning, so I'm not going to be able to be there. I guess some people are bad. They just literally don't believe in God, don't believe in Christ, don't believe in this whole thing of Christianity or the church or the goodness of man. Some people, I guess if they go someplace, come out saying, I think I've been had. But, you know, David wasn't any of these. David said he was glad to go. He found overwhelming joy in the journey to the house of the Lord. And I think the same should be said for us. You know, we don't worship at the tabernacle. We don't worship in a temple. We don't gather in any other place but the church house. And when we come here, we should be glad to be here. And this psalm gives us some reasons that David had for being glad. And I just want to spend a little bit of time this morning looking at Psalm 122. For here he talks about he was glad because he understood the purpose for going there. And he understood the people that he was going to see there. And he understood the person who was going to be glorified those. And put all those three together and it brought gladness to his heart. So let's look at them for a moment. The first was the purpose for going there. And David actually in the Psalm 122 lists two reasons. In verse 4, it has an interesting phrase in English. It says, to the testimony of Israel. They were going to Jerusalem to the testimony of Jerusalem, or to the testimony of Israel. So what's he talking about? Well, he is making reference to God's command for the Israelites to gather at the tabernacle. There are three Jewish feasts I mentioned. There is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, there's the Feast of Tabernacles. Some of them go by a little different names, but the Jew was required to make that trip to each one of those places because in doing so, it honored the Lord, honored the words or the testimony that the Lord had given to Israel. And my friends, they knew that word. And they were glad to go because in going it honored that word. Now let's go over to the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, and here for us, when it says in verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to assemble together. And he's indicating here through the writer of Hebrews that when we do that, it's an opportunity for us to stir up love and good works within us. It gives us an opportunity to exhort and to encourage one another. And my friends, don't discount the value of exhorting and encouraging one another. We do that in our conversations when we meet together. We do that when we listen to the Word of God. Just as Israel knew the testimony of the Word of God, for them, one of the primary reasons that we should be glad to come together in the house of the Lord to worship is to heed and to hear the testimony or the Word of God to us. What he's simply saying is the Bible ought to be the center of our meeting today, of our gathering anytime. Whatever event we have, whatever service we do, in whatever capacity, we ought to have his Word as the reason why we are there. Why would we want to do that? Well, the answer is simple, and it's found over in the book of Romans in chapter 10 in verse 17. You might have heard this many times. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, you can't have faith in God if you don't know the Word of God. In fact, if you look down in verse 14, he kind of clarifies that here, still in Romans 10. He says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can you believe in somebody you don't know anybody and don't know anything about? If you read on in Romans 4, and it's an interesting home study, it goes on to talk about the necessity of a preacher. And then he says, in a sense, that this preaching is primarily done in the concept of us assembling together. In other words, preaching is one of the reasons that we're in the Lord's house today, because it gives us an opportunity to hear the Word. Paul spent a lot of time writing to a young evangelist. His name was Timothy. He's got two books, 1st, 2nd Timothy. And if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, he says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why does God want us to hear his Word? Paul says this Word is inspired of God. It's God's Word. And it's profitable. It's profitable for the doctrine, that belief which you have, that faith which you share. It defines, and I'm paraphrasing, black from white in this world in which we live, where everything wants to be gray. Points out where we go astray. Makes and tries to keep us on a path of righteousness. Makes us complete, it says. And it equips us with everything we need so that we can go out and do good works for God. That's the value. That's why if you turn over to 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 2, one of the simple little things that Paul instructs Timothy to do is simply this. Preach the Word, he says. And you read on, I'm perfect. In season, out of season, rebuking your itching ears and all that. What he's simply saying is preach the Word, preach it long, preach it straight, preach it strong. When they want to hear it, and when they don't want to hear it. Because they need to hear it. We come to the house of the Lord, I'm simply saying in gladness this morning, because this is where we can learn His Word. But David talks about he was glad to come into the house of the Lord in order to herald God's praises. Look back in Psalm 122, verse 4. He says, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. You know, we talked about these three trips. The ancient Jew had to go through a great bit of difficulty in order to be at the temple at these specific times. And it cost them personally a great deal, and it was difficult. And they did it because they needed to be there in order to give thanks to God. Well, I have to say that probably none of you walked to church. Bob's not here. He lives across the street. You've got to get him back. You probably got in your car, and it probably wasn't that difficult. No sand in my shoes or your shoes this morning like an Israelite might have. no 100-mile trip on some donkey or camel. No dirt, no dust, no danger. Getting here didn't cost us too much. It cost them a great deal. And they did it because they knew what God had done for their forefathers. They did it because they knew what God had done for them. They had ample in order to praise the Lord, and they wanted to make the trip in order to give Him thanks, in order to bring Him praise. Just stop to consider what He has done for you and for me. We've got a lot easier than they had it, no matter how difficult the economic situation may be at the moment. He was glad to be in the house of the Lord in order to give thanks to the Lord. And we need to be too. That's our purpose. But he also was glad to go into the house of the Lord because of the people who gather there. Who would David meet when he went to the house of the Lord? If you look in verse 4, there's an interesting little phrase that says he was glad to go into the house of the Lord where the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. Now, he didn't say it that way, I'm sure. But to us, there's a question mark there. What's he talking about? What are these tribes? He was glad to go because the tribes of Israel were the tribes of God, the tribes of the Lord. They were the people of the Lord. And he wanted to be there with them. I'm glad to go into the house of the Lord because you're here. I mean, look at the world out there. Look at the violence you saw on your TV last night. You want to associate with those people? For whatever their cause. They're tearing up this country. David knew that those who made the trip to praise the Lord and to hear his word were special people. And he wanted to be united in fellowship with them. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 122. Let us go. Not me, us. Jews saw their time at the tabernacles as a time when they could come together on common ground for a common purpose. I'm sure they had petty disputes. I'm sure they had family squabbles. I'm sure there was all kinds of problems in the town in which they came from. But they could set all of that aside and they could be united when they came to the house of the Lord. Look around. We're different. We're all different. We come from different families. We come with different viewpoints. We come with different backgrounds. We come with different economic levels. We come with different politics and different ages and maybe different skin colors. We're different. Some of us are babes in Christ still learning this word. Others are more mature adults, so to speak, in the word of the Lord. But we're all here, and we are all in the house of the Lord, united in our fellowship this morning. But when David looked and used that term tribes, I think he saw something else. For them in particular, he said, I'm glad to go into the house of the Lord because this is my family. Literally, for the Jew, the Israelite, they were all blood related. I mean, they were all cousins, kissing cousins. I don't know. They all came from the tribes, but they were united, the 12 tribes. And they literally, when they came, this was a big family reunion. How you doing? Where you been? How's the family? We have those kind of reunions amongst our own personal families from time to time. Whatever the gathering may be, whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, or somebody's birthday, we are happy to be among our family. My friends, as Christians in Christ, we're all family. Literally, we're all blood related. Because when we were baptized into Christ, we were washed in His blood. We come up together as a brother or a sister to Jesus Himself and to one another. So when we come together for a meeting, whether it's to worship or to fellowship or for a Bible study or just to pray, we need to take every opportunity we can to strengthen the bonds of the family. Imagine a family that never ate together. Imagine a family that never saw each other. That'd be a dysfunctional family at best. It would be far worse. Maybe they were just totally not a family. If you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Acts in the second chapter. The beginning of the church. On that day when Peter and the apostles stood up and preached the first sermon of the church and convicted the hearts of those that were gathered there, and they were from all over the world that were gathered in Jerusalem at that time, it says 3,000 souls were baptized for the remission of their sins, and the beginning of the church took place. But look down at verse 46. See what happened after that. It says they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were glad in their heart to be together. And they associated one with another. Read on in the early chapters of the book of Acts, and you see that they gave all so that none would be without. David was glad in his heart to be in the house of the Lord because of the purpose. He was glad to be in the house of the Lord because of the people that were going there with him. And he was glad to be in the house of the Lord because of the person they were going to glorify. Go back to Psalms 122. You see that word Lord? That's an interesting word. It's used four times in that chapter alone. It's used 6,800 times in the Old Testament. We read it as an English word, Lord. But the original word in its language would have been Yahweh or Jehovah. You've heard those terms. And that word is really a hard word to explain or to understand, because this is what they called God. And in that word, it was God totally, self-existent, one and all. You remember when Moses asked God, and it's found over the book of Exodus in chapter 3, verse 14, what's your name? Remember what he said? My name is I Am That I Am. I mean, if you've looked up Elon Musk's name for his kid, this is just as strange as all those X's and numbers that he's gave his young boy. I am that I am. That's what the word Jehovah, that's what the word Yahweh means. This is it. This is all-encompassing. This is the God-keeping, covenant-keeping word. This is the one that is all in all. This is anything and everything that you can imagine. God is it. And David knew in the final reasoning of going to the house of the Lord, it was because of God. His Lord. You know, if it weren't for God, if it weren't for our Lord, we wouldn't have His Word, we wouldn't have His worship, we wouldn't have His church. We probably wouldn't care for each other as we do today. If you came here this morning, my friends, because it is church time, you came for the wrong reason. If you came here this morning because it's just the thing that you're in the habit of doing, or just because it's something that you've always done, you've come for the wrong reason. But if you came because you love the Lord, then you're here for the right reason. Because He saved you, if you're a Christian. He blesses you, and you want to thank Him and praise Him for what He has done. Those are the right reasons for being here. It's a very interesting hymn that we often sing, written by Eugene Williams, and the words go like this. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And then he adds that phrase you probably do remember. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. That's why I'm here this morning. Glad to be here because of the person that we glorify. And there's no better place to have a little talk with Him than right here, right now. David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was glad when he thought and when he focused upon the purpose of going there, upon the people who were going to be there, and upon the person who was going to be glorified there. And I guess the question before we leave this morning is, do you share that kind of gladness going into the house of the Lord? Glad, rejoicing when it comes time to be in the Lord's house? Or do you feel some of those other emotions that are out there that pull us away from the Lord? No better time than now for us to look inward, to have that little talk with Jesus, have that little talk with God. He calls us into His kingdom. He wants you to be a part of His family. He says, come to me through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that faith, not only before Him, but before others, so that you might witness to the world, by being baptized for the forgiveness of the remission of your sins and rising to walk as a new creature in Christ. If you haven't done that, let's arrange to do it this very day. Come, if you will, as we stand and sing our song of invitation.